Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Let's go out to the River Islands guest line. It's time for Clear to Play. Take you inside the tent, get you updated on the latest injuries in the Bay. Proud to partner with UCSF Health on this segment. Bring in Professor of Orthopedic Surgery, Dr. Nirav Pandya. We checked. The salaries match, and Doc is allowed to come on the show. It does not mean we have equal salaries. Hi, Doc. How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you guys doing?
We're good. Let's tell us about Isaac Garendo's foot. A foot sprain and then football 4 days later. Your thoughts?
So I think in general, you know, the main things you worry about with a foot sprain, number one, you want to rule out the bad Lisfranc injuries, and you want to rule out the turf toes. And then if you rule those things out, then typically it becomes an issue of, how can you do in terms of pain relief? Is there any mobility issues? Is there any stiffness? With a full week, that typically most foot sprains can get better. But with, you know, 72 to 96 hours from Sunday to Thursday, the limiting factor may simply be he's got too much soreness and pain, and it's hard for him to be effective. Not that it's going to cause more injury, but he's just not going to be able to play at that position. I think it's part of the position and the short turnaround that makes it hard for him.
What sort of a pain management from an injection standpoint could you use and utilize for Garendo in the foot?
You know, if it's related to like a specific joint, or there's maybe like one tendon or one particular ligament that may be, you know, in a very specific area, you can do some cortisone in that area. But if it's more global, like you've got multiple tendons and just your foot just generally hurts, then it's difficult. Then you talk about taping, bracing, and hopefully putting on a stiffer sneaker would help. But hopefully if it is something more isolated to one particular area or a joint, then yeah, there are things that you can inject to help make the pain better without worrying about, you know, is there something structurally wrong?
We'll see if Dre Greenlaw plays. If so, what is the right way to sort of re-indoctrinate someone after an Achilles injury, and what should fans expect in terms of his performance?
I think in general, you would definitely limit the number of plays that he has. He just hasn't recreated that full explosiveness, unpredictable nature. You just can't do that in the practice setting. So I think, number one, with someone who's coming off that type of injury, you probably limit the number of snaps. And number two, I think timing's going to be off. I think the biggest thing that people talk about when they come back from that Achilles is they suddenly have to make a sudden movement. They have to react very quickly. And there's that fear that that's going to happen again. So it's going to take several plays to him to feel confident that Achilles is not going to kind of have that issue again. That's what you commonly hear with these athletes. So I think maybe a little bit of timing issue, maybe a little less power. But as he gets further along game after game, hopefully that confidence comes back. He's more comfortable coming off that surgery.
Nick Bosa's missed a small handful of games with the oblique issue. What do you expect to see come Thursday as far as Nick Bosa being able to return or not?
I think it's really just based on how he's feeling. And I think that, you know, he's had enough time for, you know, a general and oblique injury to heal from a structural standpoint. I think the hard thing is that if he's having a little bit of soreness or can't twist or can't really kind of stabilize himself, then it's really a game time decision for him. And even though things may be structurally healed, if there's a little bit of soreness or he just doesn't feel confident, then it's another week. So once again, that how he feels leading up to Wednesday, Thursday are really going to determine whether he plays or not.
Doc, can we revisit something on Brock Purdy? I was just forever interested when you said that shoulder could be sort of related potentially to what happened to the elbow a couple of seasons ago. Now he reports, no, I feel fine. He looked good throwing the ball the other day. Does that kind of calm all of your fears, or is this something still to monitor?
I think it does calm my fears. I mean, in general, like he may have just simply could have been sore, could have taken some impact on that area. So I think the fact that he turned around and has looked good and there's not any kind of lingering issues, you're not hearing about an MRI showing some rotator cuff and labral issue, I think it's a very good sign. And I think because he had that elbow injury, when you hear shoulder, you get a little bit more concerned. But let's just say he was another quarterback that didn't have an elbow issue and he had shoulder soreness, he'd be like, oh, fine, not a big deal. Let's just keep going. So the fact that he's turned it around this quickly is a positive sign. Typically, larger structural issues will continue to linger. Just taking a couple weeks off wouldn't necessarily help that.
Double short week here for the Rams and the Niners, but how much worse is it on the body to have a short week here in December as opposed to back in September?
I think it's much worse. I mean, you typically need, as the season goes on, more and more time to get your body ready for a game. I mean, in general, even just muscle soreness, fatigue, the normal kind of aches and pains take 72 to 96 hours. And then you have these lingering injuries and things that these players have. So suddenly you're going from Sunday, turning around playing on Thursday. So it really is, can people push through? How much discomfort do they have? And where you really see it is you don't necessarily see, and they've studied this, injuries on Thursday. But then you look at the next couple of weeks, and then you start seeing people break down. So having a short turnaround at the end of the season is worrisome. Hopefully everyone comes out healthy and there aren't any major injuries leading in the next couple of weeks.
Doc, what's your read on the Andrew Wiggins ankle situation?
Yeah, this kind of diagnosis of ankle impingement, really what that is something, whether it's inflammation, it can be scar tissue, sometimes it can be bone spurs. It's kind of this grab bag term for there's something in the ankle joint that's causing him to potentially have decreased mobility and have pain. The vast majority of athletes, that usually comes from sort of repetitively playing, and he's kind of, you know, that type of player who's going to do that, very explosive. The fact that they're kind of giving him a little spot rest makes me think this is probably more just an inflammation issue as opposed to there being a bone spur or something else that's causing that mobility to go down. So something to watch. I mean, it is, you know, a little bit worrisome that something like this is cropping up earlier in the season, but hopefully they're just being very cautious. They're using that term kind of more loosely, and hopefully he'll be back because he's been such a critical part of the season and kind of going back to that 2022 performance that he had.
Steph missed a game with the bilateral knee tendonitis. Then he came back and looked pretty good. What's your concern level for Steph, not only in the short term, but throughout the year having to deal with this knee tendonitis?
Yeah, not super concerned about it. I mean, I think for him, if there's any athlete that takes care of his body, understands the rehab process, understands how to kind of work on things like that, it's Curry. And, you know, even though you put the ankle issues aside, because that's more of a structural issue that became more chronic, besides having these random traumatic injuries or like an MCL or a foot sprain, Curry really hasn't had those degenerative type issues that would crop up at this age. So the fact that this is kind of this really his first issue that comes with potentially playing a lot and kind of the wear and tear, it's a good sign. The good news is that for him at his position, not a lot of repetitive jumping, not banging in the pain a lot. I think it's going to be a lot of load management and him kind of managing this more than it being kind of a warning sign, like an Achilles tendonitis or something else that you get in someone who's younger, like a Christian McCaffrey.
Doc, great stuff as always. And we thank you, my friend.
No problem. Take care, guys. Have a good one.
There he goes. Doc Pandia. The proceeding was sponsored by UCSF Health.